VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Thank you so much for joining us. Our thanks to Sandy for pulling together so many stories here through the course of this week. As we seek to keep you informed on the number of issues going on, and friends, certainly I trust this will burden our hearts to be more in prayer for our nation. It will burden us to also to be those who are going to be sharing the good news of the gospel with others. Friends, that's our only hope. It's our only hope is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at some of the stories going on this week. Certainly tragedy in the state of Florida with the towers, this condo building that collapsed. President Biden did pledge to have the federal government cover the cost of rescue and cleanup operations for a limited time, reports The Blaze. He said, quote, "I think I have the power and will know shortly to be able to pick up 100% of the cost for the county and the state for 30 days, Biden said during a briefing on the situation yesterday. He said, quote, "I think I'm quite sure I can do that. And so we're going to do that." And that's there's going to be a lot. You all know it's because a lot of you have been through it. There's going to be a lot of pain and anxiety and suffering and a need for psychological help in the days and months to follow. On this issue, the Towers South condominium partially collapsed in the middle of the night. This was last Thursday now. Residents were sleeping. The search for survivors has been ongoing. So far, 20 have been found dead. We understand at the latest update, 128 are still missing. But a series of photos from a pool contractor, reports WesternJournal.com, taken just 36 hours before the collapse of the towers, condominiums in Surfside, Florida, is the latest sign that the tragedy may have been preventable. The pictures that were reported by the Miami Herald Monday showed cracking concrete and severely corroded rebar under the pool. The contractor said they saw some pretty scary places during his decades of work. The lack of maintenance below the pool level really troubled him. Standing water all over the parking garage as well. The biggest puddle was apparently under parking spot 78, where a 2018 inspection reported by an engineer indicated there was a major error that allowed water to enter and cause damage to the concrete slabs underneath the building. In the pool equipment room, located on the south side of the underground garage, the contractor saw another problem, exposed and corroding rebar and concrete slabs overhead. Troubling indeed. But friends, with all of that going on, it is just appalling to see what happened on CNN on Tuesday, and NewAmerican.com has a story. Tuesday, an anchor at CNN, along with Joe Biden's Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, suggested that climate change might be responsible for this tragic collapse of this condominium in Surfside, Florida. Yes, climate change. Anchor Erica Hill asks, given what we know about the changing climate, given that you've seen an increase in so-called extraordinary tides and the impact that this can have in areas like South Florida, do you think that climate could have played a role in the building collapse? Well, to her credit, Granholm didn't exactly say yes, but she did play along, hinting that climate change might indeed have played a role in the tragedy, saying, quote, "Well, obviously, we don't know fully, but we do know that the seas are rising. We know that we're losing inches and inches of beach, not just in Florida, but all around." Climate change responsible for this structure coming down? National Review telling us that the CFO, Alan Weisenberg, for President Trump, pleaded not guilty to fraud and tax crimes charges Thursday. This is the Trump Organization, the Trump Payroll Corporation, and Weisenberg, 15 felony counts involving violation of tax laws. The charges include scheme to defraud, conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, offering a false instrument for filing, and falsifying business records. They have pleaded not guilty to the charges. Breitbart tells us, interesting story here, Xi Jinping is vowing to bash the heads of foreign bullies. Communist dictator Xi Jinping delivered a violent hour-long speech on Thursday, yesterday, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of China's Communist Party, vowing that anyone seeking to liberate the Chinese people would have their heads bashed bloody and threatening sovereign Taiwan with reunification. And yet the U.S. is bending over backwards to do business with China. Washington Free Beacon is telling us that law enforcement officials identified a foreign national in the U.S. on a student visa who attempted to leave the country while carrying sensitive military intelligence, according to an internal Department of Homeland Security document. During the week of June 12th, the individual tried to leave the U.S. with photographs and data from a defense-related research lab, according to the confidential document. There was no mention of whether the suspected spy was arrested or is being held in detention, but law enforcement is sure one thing, the person was in the U.S. on a student and exchange visitor program visa. Let's go to WesternJournal.com. President Biden sought to assure Israel that he would not tolerate a nuclear Iran as he met with the outgoing Israeli President Reuven Rivlin on Monday. Amid a major shakeup in Israeli politics and growing angst in Tel Aviv over the U.S. administration's effort to re-enter the Iran nuclear deal. Biden noted that he had ordered airstrikes a day earlier targeting facilities the U.S. military says were used by Iran-backed militia groups near the border between Iraq and Syria. Rhetoric seemed to underscore that he would remain tough on Iran, the malign Iran activities, such as he that takes more of a diplomatic track right now. What I can say to you is that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon on my watch, Biden said at this White House meeting. Track Persia says that the UN, European Union, and many Security Council members are urging the U.S. and Iran to quickly put the 2015 nuclear deal aimed at reining in Tehran's nuclear program back on track, but neither side showed any sign of movement toward an agreement. During the six rounds of talks in Vienna, the six countries that remain parties to the agreement, Russia, China, Germany, France, Britain, and Iran, have been trying to resolve many major outstanding issues on how the U.S. can rejoin. We'll open up the lines later, finding out your thoughts whether the U.S. should get back into that or not. Let's go to WND.com. After months of business shutdowns, job losses, social isolation, mask-wearing mandates, and eventually tens of millions of people getting vaccinated against COVID-19, the World Health Organization is warning this progress is not enough. CNBC reporter reported that WHO is now insisting that fully vaccinated people keep wearing masks and staying away from other people because of the contagious Delta variant. People cannot feel safe just because they have two doses. They still need to protect themselves, said Mary Angela Simao in a report. She is the Assistant Director General for Access to Medicines and Health Products for WHO, the World Health Organization. Vaccine alone won't stop community transmission, she said. People need to continue to use masks consistently, be in ventilated spaces, hand hygiene, the physical distance, avoid crowding. This still continues to be extremely important even if you're vaccinated when you have a community transmission outgoing. So what is the purpose, then, of the vaccination? LifeSiteNews.com. The World Economic Forum is proposing psychological plans to overcome vaccine hesitancy. Yes, overcoming COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy, procrastination, and rejection is the greatest marketing communication challenge of our lifetime, declared an article of the World Economic Forum's website recently. Piece authored by three professionals in marketing. The group had conducted research into how to combat what they described as a demand problem for COVID injections, with supply outweighing demand. This led them to suggest creating and implementing such solutions to inform, persuade, and convince customer segments to act. And we believe this kind of approach could also boost COVID-19 vaccine communication efforts. The scholars want to use psychology to promote vaccines, noting how customers make decisions in the process of thinking, feeling, and taking action. In order to convince the sector of the population, we need to focus on the think and feel stages of decision-making, declared the marketing experts. The three authors called for a campaign against vaccine misinformation, explaining how to address how people think about the vaccine. This can be addressed by local leaders proactively reaching out and educating skeptics via media, like phone calls, direct mail, television, billboard, and digital channels. The three authors suggested a form of emotional fear-mongering to be used against vaccine skeptics. Another way to improve vaccine skeptics' feelings is to play into a fear of missing out, both socially and economically, wrote the group. Incentives can work. Business and states could launch a vaccine incentive scheme by providing paid time off, free products, and lottery giveaways. Do you wonder why are they doing that in states across the nation? Well, that's the think tank of the World Economic Forum that's suggesting a psychological plans to overcome what is called vaccine hesitancy. And did you get that phrase that I mentioned here just a bit ago? Another way to improve vaccine skeptics' feelings is to play into a fear of missing out, both socially and economically. Now, keep in mind, folks, there is coming a time in which one will not be able to buy or sell without having the mark of the beast. Now, this is not the mark of the beast, but look how the desensitization is going on, trying to put in these incentives. You're going to miss out if you don't. And someday that is also going to come. You can't buy these groceries today. Sorry, you cannot shop online if you don't have this mark, if you don't have this identification. And, folks, it is playing right into the very scenario, as our friend Jimmy DeYoung, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Well, from FoxNews.com, a Pittsburgh man who died weeks after receiving his second dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vax has apparently showed symptoms that met the criteria for a rare serious blood clot disorder previously only reported in recipients of the J&J and AstraZeneca jabs. An outside group of experts from the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and an accompanying editorial has noted that extra caution is needed before attributing the patient's case to the mRNA-1273 vaccine. But the FDA is adding a warning about rare heart inflammation to the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, reports Reuters. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is planning to move quickly to add a warning about rare cases of heart inflammation in adolescents and young adults to fact sheets for the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advisory groups meeting to discuss reported cases of the heart condition after vaccination found the inflammation in adolescents and young adults is likely linked to the vaccines, but that the benefits of the shots appear to clearly outweigh the risk. That is, unless you're one of those who have the heart inflammation. Now, keep in mind, putting this on the warning label, this also coming to us from, I believe this is Children's Health Defense. A new study of U.S. service members found higher than expected rates of heart inflammation following a receipt of a COVID vaccine. It's finding Defense Department researchers say should call attention to the condition known as myocarditis as a potential side effect. And a study released, published June 29th in JAMA, a journal, this is JAMA Cardiology. U.S. military physicians described 23 cases of myocarditis in previously healthy males who developed the condition within 4 days of receiving the COVID jab. A total of 23 male patients, 22 currently serving in the military and one retiree, with a medium age range of 25, were evaluated between January and April for acute onset chest pains following the vaccination of mRNA. All military members were previously healthy with a high level of fitness, physically fit by military standards, lacked any known history of cardiac disease, significant cardiac risk factors, or exposure to cardiotoxic agents. Interesting info, back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to allow for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
is Crosstalk on VCY America. Earlier this week, we aired a press conference, in part, by Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, that had been contacted by people who had been injured by the vaccination, so-called, and wanted to share their stories. And he shared their stories, and he mentioned, made reference in this news conference to having so many more. But on Thursday, yesterday, he sent letters to Moderna and Pfizer to request information and data on adverse effects and the steps that their companies have taken to assist individuals who've reported experiencing serious adverse effects following receipt of the COVID-19 jab. The senator also asked for the information no later than July 15th. He did say in a statement, just because a vaccine is generally safe does not mean it is 100% safe. So he is asking them, what steps have you taken to assist individuals who've experienced adverse effects following their taking of their so-called vaccination? Senator Josh Hawley is demanding answers after a recent report indicated that the NIH, National Institutes of Health, deleted gene sequences of COVID-19 cases from its database at the behest of Chinese researchers to the benefit of the Chinese Communist Party, saying, why did you do that? Why is the NIH taking orders from China? You'll find the story at LifeSiteNews.com. Another story on LifeSiteNews.com involves Make-A-Wish, a popular charity for sick children, has done an about-face after its CEO's message about granting wishes of only vaccinated kids was met with outrage. That's right. Earlier, the CEO had made a statement about granting wishes. This is Richard Davis. Only if they are vaccinated. Here's what he had to say.
President and CEO of Make-A-Wish America. And over the past year, we spent each day at Make-A-Wish preparing for the moment when every possible wish could safely move forward. We've approached this responsibility with a focus and diligence for your family's health and safety. Now, we've consulted with doctors and medical professionals throughout the National Medical Advisory Council, and we've been monitoring public health organizations like the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And based on their collective guidance, today we're making a big step forward in delivering hope to you, our Wish Kids, and our Wish families. I'm excited to share that Make-A-Wish will resume granting air travel wishes within the United States and its territories, as well as granting wishes involving large gatherings for vaccinated wish families as soon as September 15th of 2021. All wish participants, including your wish kid and any siblings, will need to be 2 weeks past completion of either a one-dose or a two-dose vaccine. While we won't ask for proof of vaccination, we'll ask for any adult participant to sign a letter of understanding that certifies that they and any minors participating in the wish are vaccinated and understand the risks of traveling at this time.
Okay, so that's Richard Davis, CEO at Make-A-Wish. And, you know, wish kids, they would take effective, you know, after 2 weeks of being fully vaccinated. Well, evidently there's been such a backlash that Make-A-Wish Foundation America told the UK's Daily Mail that it will still be willing to fulfill the wishes of unvaccinated wish kids, even when they involve air travel in the U.S. We understand that there are many families whose children are not eligible for the vaccine yet, and we also know that there are families who really aren't ready to get the vaccine, the organization told the British paper. We respect everyone's freedom of choice. Make-A-Wish will not require anyone to get vaccinated to receive a wish, the spokesperson continued. What an about face. We will continue to grant wishes for all eligible children, including children who have not been vaccinated. Well, another issue here, and that is over the fireworks at Mount Rushmore. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is blasting the Biden administration over its decision to ban 4th of July fireworks in Mount Rushmore, claiming this was political and was punitive. Noem argued that the Biden administration is pushing back after the state staged a fireworks show at Mount Rushmore in 2020 with then-President Donald Trump. Western Journal has that story. And if you're traveling this weekend, yeah, you notice gas prices right now a seven-year high. A seven-year high, the highest they've been since July 4th of 2014. So we shut down the pipelines, as we shut down the drilling initiatives in different places and put the squeeze on, folks, we're going to see those prices go even higher. The Patriot Post reminds us that former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has died. The Illinois native was a Princeton grad, naval aviator, began winning a seat in Congress in 1962, served four terms. He was the only person then to hold the title of Defense Secretary twice under President Ford and George W. Bush. He, as Secretary of Defense after the 9/11 Islamist attack on our nation, oversaw the launch of Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, in response to the jihadistan threat. You may recall that after the Pentagon was struck, Rumsfeld rushed to the aid of the injured, carrying some to safety, reports the Patriot Post. Well, the First Lady, Jill Biden, is going to be representing the U.S. at the Tokyo Olympics. Some have asked why President Biden is not going, but his wife is going to be representing the United States there. The LA Signal telling us this week the hammer thrower Gwen Berry made international headlines when during the podium ceremony for winning bronze in Olympic trial, she turned away from the United States flag as the national anthem played. There are a number of people calling for her to not be eligible for the Olympics. The anthem wasn't played for her or for other competitors in the hammer throw. Even every day during the trials, a pre-scheduled anthem went out over the sound system, but she turned 90 degrees from the flag, stood with her head on her hand on her hip, glared directly into the camera, saying that she believed she was being set up for that. Well, in the United States, there's far more money to be made in fame to be achieved by spurring the American flag as the national anthem than by spurning it rather than by embracing it. And according to the Daily Signal, saw an opportunity to maximize her profile, and she seized it. Well, a male contestant has won Miss Nevada. USA's competition will now compete at the Miss USA Nationals. The story here from LifeSiteNews.com, a man, biological male, has won the Miss Nevada USA competition and will advance to the Miss USA Nationals, become the first man to compete in the Miss USA pageant. Cataluna Enriquez was crowned the winner Sunday at the South Point Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, the AP reported. Enriquez is a healthcare worker, focuses on so-called LGBT health. Huge thank you to everyone who supported me from day one. My community, you are always in my heart. My win is our win. We just made history. Happy Pride, he said. Okay, Conservative Daily News tells us Governor Noem of South Dakota deploying National Guard troops to Texas to help with the border crisis. Up to 50 South Dakota National Guard troops will be deployed to assist Texas law enforcement officials to secure the southern border. The troops will be in Texas for 30 to 60 days, and the deployment was funded by a private donation. To Greg Abbott and the people of Texas, help is on the way, Noem said in a tweet Monday evening. We understand that Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has also sent 50 law enforcement officials to help Texas, and around 25 Nebraska state troopers were also sent to Texas to help law enforcement there as well. Newsmax.com, the Biden administration is being sued by sheriffs and active immigration and customs enforcement officers for its handcuffing them on enforcing immigration law by restricting arrest and deporting of illegal immigrants. FoxNews.com tells us about President Trump's visit to the border on Wednesday. Took direct aim at President Biden for the surge this year in migrants crossing the barrier, the illegals. There's never been a border so secure as the southern border that we have had, and now it's opened up, he said. He also went on to say, now we have an open, really dangerous border, more dangerous than it's ever been in the history of our country, and we better go back fast. Two Republican governors calling for the Senate to investigate why the Biden administration has not notified state and local governments before transporting illegal immigrants to their jurisdictions and releasing them there. This is Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and Tennessee Governor Bill Lee wrote a letter of support to Senator Grassley of Iowa, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who's called repeatedly for a hearing on the crisis on the southern border, saying we believe this hearing should also address the Biden administration's failure to provide notice and transparency in their movement of unaccompanied migrant children into states. These two governors have been among the most vocal critics of the Biden administration's policy of using domestic flights to relocate illegal immigrants. Conservative Daily News telling us that the U.S. Customs and Border Protections Office at field operations officers seized heroin in one enforcement action, totaling some $1.3 million in street value. This is at the Juarez-Lincoln Bridge, where a CBP officer referred a 2009 Toyota Camry for a second exam. K9 evidently found this, and some 49 packages, 58.06 pounds of alleged heroin concealed within the vehicle. Western Journal tells us that just days after the Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York dismissed the horrifying crime waves infesting city liberal cities as media-stoked hysteria, well, a string of violent crimes ravaged New York City. AOC is claiming that the crime sprees are not real, even though the left-wing Times admitted that homicide rates in large cities were up more than 30% on average last year, up another 24% from the beginning of this year. So AOC is just calling this this whole aspect just hysteria. It's just blaming the media for promoting the false idea of crime waves, insisting that documented surges in murders, thefts, rapes, and shootings in liberal cities are merely a figment of everyone's imagination. AOC, you need to come to Milwaukee, see what's happening here. A federal judge, actually a judge on Thursday, FoxNews.com reports, ordered Minneapolis to hire more police officers after ruling in favor of a group that had sued the city council over a rise of crime in that city. You see, officers in not only Minneapolis, but in police departments around this country, they've been leaving in droves amid this anti-police climate that's going on. New York City, boy, they're still trying to get that vote right there. Counting the New York City's updated results for mayoral primary, found, what do they have, some 135,000 invalid votes being taken place there. Truly troubling indeed. Patriot Post telling us there may seem AOC Civilian Climate Corps is no great Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps, but the Bronx representative and her Green New Deal plan, along with Senator Markley, are pushing for $70 billion to create their version of the CCC via a reconciliation package. This would be hiring 1.5 million young people to complete federally funded projects that help communities respond to climate change and transition to a clean economy. Did you hear about the insurrection at the White House? Monday, a group of militant leftist activists stormed the White House grounds and barricaded points of entry while making demands of President Joe Biden. Wearing black T-shirts, sloganeering in support of the Green New Deal, participants brandished signs reading, "For the water we drink and no climate, no deal." After ordering Biden to include full funding for a civilian climate corps in his bipartisan infrastructure bill, members of the so-called Sunrise Movement arrested by Secret Service, prompting the group to boast of its activism on Twitter. 500-plus people blockaded every entrance to the White House, demanding that he include a fully funded civilian climate corps in his infrastructure bill, the Sunrise Movement wrote. Folks, why has this not been front and center on all the newscasts day after day after day? Did you hear about this insurrection taking place there? My. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history. You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today. Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to BCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
like to get just a few more stories out to you here today before we open phone lines to talk about, you know, this breach at the White House. Well, they're still, I mean, they're opening this investigation now. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th? This coming to us from WND.com, announcing the investigation of January 6th Capitol riot. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Thursday that the root causes of the event were white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. She was asked by a reporter the timeline for the probe. The California Democrats said it would be as long as it takes for them, the time that they need to do the investigation of the causes of this. You know when the report's going to come out, folks? Right before or leading up to next year's November election. That's my take on this. That's my take on it. But she calls the root causes white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. I wonder if she's going to study the root causes of the uprising at the White House earlier this week. Well, do you live in rural America? The Biden administration wants to add some 500,000 charging stations for electric cars, 56,000 electric cars, $56,000, I believe it is for each. Let's see here what should the average electric car costs. About 55,600, and they're best utilized in cities. It's because people drive a long way in rural areas, and yet the Biden administration is wanting to put in about 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations focusing on rural and disadvantaged communities. Now, those of you in rural communities, when we open phone lines, I'd like to have you report how many electric cars or vehicles that you are finding in your rural area. I mean, they're concentrated in high cities. So the average range of the 2020 models are about 250 miles. Electric vehicles are not a good solution for rural residents who may drive long distances to shop or drop kids off at school or visit relatives and friends. But some 500,000 charging stations for these $56,000 vehicles and focusing on rural America? Western Journal, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in Arizona announced Monday that it will replace all of its voting machines used in the 2020 presidential election following the audit. The voters can rest assured the county will never use equipment that could pose a risk to free and fair elections. Waiting for that report to come out. By the way, with the Supreme Court decisions we talked about yesterday with Matt Staver, a renewed calling for stacking or packing the court, the Supreme Court, is taking place. California Daily Wire reporting a bill introduced by the California State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco that decriminalizes possession. The bill would decriminalize possession of psychedelic drugs, and the states made progress Tuesday after removed a potential date rape drug from the legislation. The bill would allow those 21 and older to possess for personal use and social sharing the hallucinogenic component of the so-called magic mushrooms. Also covers other psychedelic drugs, including ecstasy as well. And the Biden administration announcing, from townhall.com here, announcing the moratorium on federal executions. Last night, from the Department of Justice, announced that Attorney General Merrick Garland issuing a memo imposing a moratorium on federal executions, and also ordered a review of recent policy changes from the Trump administration as well. Let's see. Also, yeah, there's been an attempt again to make valid the invalid Equal Rights Amendment. Remember, it fell short of the votes that were needed. Well, this has been taken to the courts. And now we have the First Circuit Court of Appeals turning it back, indicating that, sorry, the time has run its course. It is not valid. Likely will be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court as well. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk, give you a little more time than what we have in some of our last Roundup Fridays to give you opportunity to comment on these or other current event stories. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or another current event story, we welcome your phone call here today. A lot to speak out on, a lot to share your mind with as well. Interesting matters that are going on in states all across the nation. Here's your opportunity to share what's on your mind on these current issues. So again, our number here today to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Several lines open here as we start the program today here on Crosstalk. Let's begin in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask you and the listeners out there where they are, if they've noticed the weather reports are changing, where they're putting more of the European weather models in our national and local weather reports and not using NOAA, which was designed for our country and the weather report and the satellites, but they're using European models now.
I have not noticed that. Why is that, Fred?
I'm just wondering why. Well, one world order, probably trying to bring everything under one roof.
Hmm. Interesting. I had not noticed that. Thank you. Jason in Dodgeville, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just have to remind you about the Biden administration bombing the Iraq-Syria border, which was not also not covered in the media worth a darn. And I want to bring up the point, too, about re-entering the Iran deal. I think no. And I also like to bring up the that when President Trump was trying to make peace with world leaders like Putin and Kim Jong-un, he was basically mocked. And now they want to enter a deal with Iran, of all people.
Hmm. Yeah, he had the model of peace through strength, and many are starting to question our strength as a nation today. Thank you, Jason. Lisa in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to comment about the charging station.
Yeah.
I work in southern Ohio. I work for the federal government, believe it or not, and I work about 10 counties along the Ohio River. I have seen one electric car. I might have passed a few others, but I've seen one. Those charging stations would be hilarious. They're going to be vandalized continuously, ridiculous waste of money. But what else do we expect from a guy nobody voted for?
Interesting. So you've seen one, maybe a few, but and you do a lot of travel.
Yes, I drive about 1,000 miles a week from the West Virginia corner of Ohio all the way over to Adams County. Oh. Yeah, I've seen one. So.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Birmingham, Birmingham, England. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Jim. Just a comment on the last point about the electric car charging stations. And here in Britain, we've got this new television news channel called GB News. And the other day, they had somebody commenting about the plans for going to all electric vehicles in Britain and pointing out that there isn't enough rare earth metals available to build the number of all electric cars that are proposed to be built in this country alone, let alone in the rest of the world.
Hmm.
And somebody also observed that an all-electric dust cart, I suppose that would be refuse collection lorry in the United States, wouldn't be able to finish its round on a single charge because the battery capacity wouldn't be enough compared with running it on diesel. And then only today they interviewed a used car salesman from the other side of Birmingham, and he said that come 2030, when they're proposing to stop producing petrol and diesel engine vehicles, he said the price of petrol cars is absolutely going to skyrocket on the second-hand market because you've got people, for example, in a block of flats, they're not going to be able to run a cable from an upstairs flat downstairs to charge a car.
Wow, wow.
So interesting observations on the other side of the picture on that sort of a plan.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
Yeah, it's engineering nightmare and madness.
yeah, thank you for bringing the
Jim.
UK perspective there. Thanks.
Bless you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Let's go to Sandy next in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, you know, what are we going to hear more about the gender-neutral restrooms? You know, our children and our grandchildren are going to be able to or have to use restrooms that are gender-neutral. And sometimes, you know, you just never know what kind of can of worms that's going to open as to you can't unsee something.
Right, right. I just saw a video clip this week, Sandy, of a woman who was at a spa, and there was a man, I mean, a biological male who so-called identified as a female, and they were horrified because he was not clothed, and their daughters and everybody was in there and outraged, and yet yes. They are saying that the rights of this individual overshadow and are greater than the rights of everybody else expecting privacy within that dressing room and the spa areas.
Right, and those are the type of things, you know, I went into a local university here, and there was a paper-made sign saying that they were, in essence, in support of those that are dealing with that, so that, you know, for everybody else to now realize that that might be the issue in the restroom that you're going to be entering.
Not only restrooms, but locker rooms, shower facilities as well.
Yeah, and so it's very upsetting, and, you know, we need to find out how we can combat this.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate your call
Thank
here
you.
Today. And you've got an administration right now that is all for, I mean, as he campaigned, and he's following through on his campaign wishes. Lord willing, next week we're going to be having a program on this. But remember, as he was campaigning, he said the transgender issue is a civil rights issue of our time. And so his administration is doing everything possible to advance the LGBTQ plus agenda, forcing this upon schools across the nation, upon businesses, upon the facilities, stadiums, everything. And folks, when you look at H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, say goodbye to the values and policies that churches have held, Christian ministries, organizations. I mean, they've got men who are identifying as women going into battered women's shelters. Something's wrong here, folks. Joe in Richmond, Indiana, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Richmond, Indiana, and I just wanted to say I'm so thankful for your program, number one. And number two, I just really call out to all the American patriots to take a stand and support the local police, sheriff's departments, and legal people. And number two is I would just like to ask everyone to get involved in school board meetings and to really get involved with keeping this transgender baloney, you know, controlled. And it's just something that we're having a dark day, and it's not going to be forever. We need to take a stand. And I just really encourage the American patriots to stand and be a Christian testimony.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Certainly to be salt and to be light. Appreciate your call here today. I'm up against the break. We'll take more of your calls here following the break. Our number to Crosstalk, got a couple open lines here again, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. On June 27th, there was breaking news that the United States military had struck a Iranian militant group that were running drone programs right there on the border of Iraq and Syria. Those that are Bible prophecy students will immediately recognize the significance of that report. Think about it. Syria and Iran. Iran, Russia, Turkey, right there in Syria. I saw a picture recently where the president of Iran, the president of Russia, and the president of Turkey were all in a group picture with their hands clasped together. They're in military alliance. This has not been the case, except for a very short period of time. And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 38, these groups, along with others, will make up a coalition that comes against Israel, and God will protect them. Bible prophecy is being set to be fulfilled.
It's the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and we thank you for joining us. Let me just say this before we go back to the lines. The caller was talking, you know, people talking about what are we going to do as it relates to this matter of privacy, and now we have biological males that are participating on biological females' sports teams. I mean, we're going to see it in the Olympics. This from CNS News, and some of you, I know, have heard this audio clip, but it bears repeating right now, because when Republican Ohio State Representative Jenna Powell introduced an amendment to protect biological female athletes from being forced to compete against transgender biological males, other representatives opposed to her measure, banging their desk in order to drown out her remarks. Folks, they held a temper tantrum. This is legislators in the Ohio State House holding a temper tantrum as a woman legislator puts forth an amendment to add a bill banning transgender biological males from competing on female sports teams. This is 1 minute long. Before I go back to the phones, I want you to hear this. It's an outrage.
Move to amend with Amendment 1594.
Okay. The chair has the amendment. The amendment appears to be in order. The representative may proceed.
Wonderful. The Safe Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women to be able to achieve their dreams and athletics in our state. And it's crucial to preserving women's rights and the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Across our country, female athletes are currently losing scholarships, opportunities, medals, education, and training opportunities. This amendment will require schools that are part of the OHSAA to designate separate teams for participants of the biological sex. No school interscholastic conference or organization that regulates interscholastic shall permit biological males to participate on athletic teams or an athletic competition.
You know, this is just amazing. Okay, here she is trying to give her amendment that would prohibit biological males from competing on biological female sports teams or against them in this regard. Listen to the drowning out. They have holding a temper tantrum, pounding their desk to drown her out, to stop this from going forth. And folks, there are a number of legislators that are doing everything possible to force this upon you and your daughters. Let's go back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for your patience. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if there is somebody who has the, who knows how to use those machines and who has the moral courage to gather all the information as far as videos, audios, as what happened to the on the day of the 6th. We know that we listen to the programs here. We know the truth, but it is not getting out there, and we've got to fight against what's going to be happening with that investigation they're going to have. And it has to start from Pelosi in charge of the statues, the security, the Capitol. And, well, of course, the president of the Senate, too, is in charge, but he doesn't care. And if somebody could gather that up and make some kind of video presentation, doesn't have to be anything.
Yeah, there have been those that have been already created here, Susan, and what they're being drowned out. I mean, they're available out on websites now today.
Is it all gathered together to make a video?
There's a lot of video that's been come forth, and
yes, but it's not in one source.
Well, yeah,
you
Michael,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's not short because there's a lot of fraud, and if you look at Mike Liddell's,
I'm saying it's not in one source. It's not all put together so people can watch it in a video and say, oh my heavens, it's
well,
so much.
Something that's very compelling. Have you watched Mike Lindell's video, Absolute Proof?
I don't have one of those machines. Does that talk about the 6th, the day of the 6th?
There's so much that's involved. There's a lot that's come forth on the 6th itself, as well as the matter at the Capitol. There's a lot of unanswered questions as to why do you have Black Lives Matter people that are leading the charge getting into the Capitol? You know, that's something that's got to be hammered out there. So that's one issue. But the voting that took place back in November is another issue. And there's a lot of compelling evidence that's out there, Susan. But a lot of it you have to see on the computer, or I believe the Absolute Proof they made available on DVD as well. So thank you.
Well,
Joe is next. Urban, Kentucky, you're on the air. I'm sorry, this is Jeff in South Dakota. Southport, Florida. Northport, Florida.
Northport.
We'll get it right.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to make a comment about the electric cars. There's something that media and leftists are not telling about these electric cars. I challenge anybody to look on Google, follow Google about these electric cars, especially the batteries. And the batteries last between 5 to 8 years, and you have to have them replaced. And it costs up to between $3,000 to $5,000 to replace a battery. And that's equivalent to changing an engine on a, I've been a mechanic for many years, that's changing an engine on a car every 5 years. And so, and also, they don't realize that charge a battery takes like 3 hours to fully charge. You do a fast charge, takes about half hour, but the fast charge just destroys the battery. And then it shortens the life, you know, dramatically. I challenge people, go on Google, look up advantages of electric cars over gasoline engines, and there is none. There is really no advantage of that whatsoever. And so it's going to cost tremendous amounts even to have one.
Thank you,
Joe. And then, so this is, I challenge people to do that.
Okay, thank you so much. Joe in Urban, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Joe. Nice to have a chance to talk with you. I was just calling in regarding this, the systemic racism and Marxism stuff that they're trying to teach our children in schools.
Oh, yeah, CRT.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm from rural eastern Kentucky, you know, where if people, you know, in New York City may hear where I'm from, they automatically, you know, think, well, he's a racist, he's a hillbilly, you know. But I grew up in a family that my parents, we were a host family, the kids from Guatemala, you know, we would bring them here and they would be like my brothers and sisters, you know, and they're, I just, it makes me so mad that they're just automatically, you know, it's basically they're doing what they're saying that white people are, you know, they're automatically naming people a racist because of their skin color, you
right,
know, that's
right.
Basically what, I just don't get it, how they justify.
Thank you. Yeah, it's causing disruption and certainly a lot of deception coming through the critical race theory. Don in Phoenix, we're down to 10 seconds, sir. Quickly with your comment.
I just wanted to say that you have a good radio station. Jesus said that in the end times we would be living like in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
God is in control. And everything is according to his plan.
Amen. I'm out of time. My theme music is playing, but a good way to end the program today. Indeed, the Lord's in control. Let's trust him. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.